His mercy and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is our life and our joy. Amen. To this day, I have kept the theme of joy, of which we shall speak today. And the text for this is found in Hebrews chapter 12. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith, before the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. In Jesus' name, hear the word of God. Tragedies such as that which occurred on September 11th. 2001, and today is marked by its 10th anniversary, where people lost loved ones, where fear and sadness entered the lives of almost every citizen of this land. All seem to accept the joy out of our life. But there is a greater danger than a mere tragedy to taking joy from one's life. I have come to term this as drinking incrementalism. That is, where joy is gradually lost, and you don't even recognize that it's missing. When you lose the joy of your job, you don't usually lose it in a moment, but over time, and suddenly you realize that your job is no longer a joy, but is a burden. Oftentimes, I have noticed that one may lose joy in their spouse within their marriage, and then the whole marriage itself becomes threatened when the one is oftentimes asunder. And one loses joy in one's family when it becomes isolated and alone. So what happens when you lose joy in service? Well, perhaps your service becomes a burden. And what happens when you lose joy in being God's child? Right or wrong, I'm of the opinion that certainly this pastor and perhaps our staff and maybe even the people of this congregation may be on the cusp of losing their joy. Now, joy, the biblical concept of joy, and I'm not talking about a giddy happiness here. Biblical joy is found in two spheres. First, in the vertical relationship between God and man himself. Joy between God and his creation, we might say. And secondly, in the horizontal joy between those who belong to God in Christ. Joy among men, if you will. Joy between God's children. The verse just preceding that which I have chosen for today's text speaks of the earthly journey of the child of God and the metaphor of a race. The writer of Hebrews says it this way, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a crowd of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Here, dear friends, in a nutshell, is what so often perhaps causes a lack of joy between God's people. For the race course that the Lord sets before each of his children is strange to our democratic notions. One has a race of 100 yards which they can walk. Another has a race of 2 miles which they must sprint. One must bear many burdens during their race. Another has few burdens if they prophets is right. These things says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. You have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. You have persevered and have patience, and have labored for my name's sake, and have not become weary. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. I would submit that according to the biblical language here, you may think of this love as joy in God as well as joy in service. And then we hear this call of our God. Remember, therefore, from whence you have fallen, repent and do the first words, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your candle from its lampstand unless you repent. Here, dear friends, we might easily see how Satan might ensnare you. I work harder than any. I carry the burden of this ministry. I get paid less than so-and-so. I work harder than so-and-so does. Or my board has more work to do and receives no thanks. So, if these thoughts have ever crossed your mind, how do you, and for that matter, the congregation, get back its first love? The answer is mystifyingly simple. Each of his children in this place is called to run the race that God has set before them. In other words, carry out the vocation that God has entrusted to them. But while doing this, you must always keep your eyes focused on Jesus. You must be looking unto Jesus, as the author of Hebrews says, the author and finisher of your faith. In the language of sports, you must keep your eye on the ball. Or, for a better understanding, we might say, keep your eye on the prize. And do this just like Jesus did. Our text reveals what Jesus did and why he did it. But he tells us he did it all for joy. The first joy was the joy of fulfilling his Father's will. This was given him from eternity. When the Father, knowing that man would sin, already had set up a plan of salvation. This plan of salvation involved the Son of God becoming human and taking on human flesh, and then offering that human flesh, that sinless human flesh, as the atonement for the sins of the whole world. Doesn't sound like much of a joyful job, does it? And then secondly, Jesus undertakes this joy because he has another joy coming, the joy of serving a lost and fallen part of God, his Father's creation, lost and fallen humanity. This he does by facing the cross, the shame, the pain, the suffering, and the death, all for wayward sinners like you, and you've got it like me too. Today, we shall place into office Mr. Ted Weissman. Ted has been called to serve in this congregation for joy. Finding joy in the reality of the work of Jesus Christ, he, Ted, has been called to be God's child. Finding joy in students learning to think. Finding joy in assisting and serving colleagues toward their objectives of joy in service, and finding joy in being the human connection point between the work of Jesus and the students and families that God will entrust to his guidance. rest of our call staff will be invited to renew their joy in serving Christ by reaffirming their call to service and their call to joy. Today, our Sunday school staff will be placed in office to assist in the God-given task of leading the children of the church to better know and comprehend Jesus, who is their Savior. Jesus was sent by the Father to save and redeem the entire world. This was the joy that was set before him, and why he and is to love and serve the neighbor, especially those who are the household of faith. And lastly, but not least, I'd like you to think of joy as a priority in your life. Think of joy, first and second graders, as a word that you spell. J-O-Y. And then think of that as a priority. Which letter comes first? J. And J is for Jesus.